Hello once again. This is the Angel Wire Podcast. I'm Ryan O'Gurick.
And I'm Joel Crisall.
And today, how are you, Joe?
I'm okay, I guess. It's been getting colder out. I'm not too keen on that.
I got yelled at for saying the S word today.
The yes word?
The S word.
The S word.
Snow.
Snow. Yeah, I would yell at you too.
Well, you know, I was just at that car show. And I was like, people are complaining that they're cold.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, normally this time we have snow.
Maybe where you're at.
Glass half, well, where I'm at. True.
Yeah. But sometimes maybe at Thanksgiving, maybe a little bit before. But
I mean, it never sticks. Oh. But we've usually gotten some by now.
I need to move somewhere warm, though. But yeah, I could see why the car guys are not in favor of that word, because everything goes into storage.
Yeah, well, it was the last show of the year, so.
Yep.
At least for that particular line of car show.
Right, right. Just supercars.
Supercar Saturday.
Yep.
As you out there will know if you follow me on Instagram, at Invest with Ryan O. Do it to it.
Yeah.
Like, follow, and subscribe? Is that what that's what the YouTube guys say, right?
Yeah, YouTube guys say follow and subscribe. Or just follow. Or
smash that like button.
Yeah.
They got to put energy into it, you know, so.
Or crush that follow button.
Crush it.
Crush that follow
button. Crush it like you're going to crush your Monday workout. Right?
Yeah. Every day should be crushed.
Yeah.
Not just Monday.
Crushed like we crushed our final Google exam.
We crushed the shit out of that.
Dude. May or may not have had a little bit of outside help, but.
Yes.
We crushed it.
We crushed it.
Is what counts. That's gonna work to our advantage.
Right,
in
right.
The near future. And it's probably going to work to the advantage of some of our viewers in the near future.
Well, I would think it would. Yeah, absolutely.
I think so. Just pay attention, fuckers. Because if not, you're going to miss out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. Why don't you talk just a smidge about what's kind of coming down the funnel here for everybody?
So, if you may or may not know, together Joe and I own a marketing company,
yep.
Right? I don't think an agency is really fair to say at this point.
Yeah.
Part of what our marketing company does is offer wholesale services to
right.
independent sales agents. So what we've done is create a program where people can easily become one of those independent sales agents.
Actually, you become an actual partner.
Right.
And so you would actually own, they would actually own their own business, right?
Right. Their own agency.
Yes.
Their which own can agency. Be scaled. This is not a pyramid scheme.
Nope.
Right. We don't, definitely don't want to give that impression to anyone.
No.
There's no downline. There's no upward. Funneling
no,
bullshit.
No, it's your own entity.
The goal is to create as many small business owners as we can, and along that process, to help as many small businesses as we can through providing marketing services.
Correct. At a great rate, too.
Yeah, at a great rate.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we can probably go ahead and say Agency Angel, because by the time this actually is seen by anyone, it'll be a thing.
Oh.
Which is where the name Angel Wire comes from.
Very clever.
Uh-huh. Well, I would like to think so, right?
Yes. That was all Ryan, by the way.
So if you don't like it, yeah, fucking blame me.
Hey, he showed me it, and I was like, well, I like that.
I mean, I think it rolls off the tongue, right?
I like it. It's got that, it's kind of an almost like a news outlet in a way, but.
Yeah.
But it's not really quite a news outlet for this particular thing. It's more of an experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a platform.
Yes.
Right? So I guess we'll leave it at this.
Yeah.
For if this sounds interesting to you out there, go to agencyangel.com. If we're at the right stage by the time you're hearing this, you'll be able to sign up then and there. If not, you'll be able to sign up to be notified as soon as we launch. But I think more than likely by the time they see this, we'll probably at least be in an early release phase.
Yes.
Which, if you're the right person, you can probably get in a better rate.
Yes.
During that
yes.
time. So
yes,
check sir. It out. And if that doesn't work for you because you're already a business owner, you might also then want to hit up our actual marketing agency, which is greatmarketingllc.com.
Yeah. I would definitely hit that up.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to get any better service or pricing.
Well, I mean, I think as we've tried to demonstrate in our previous podcast yep. and through the naming and branding of things, you know, we're all about providing an honest and fair service, which is transparent as well.
Right.
You know, which has kind of been a big issue in the marketing agency or the marketing yeah. industry.
Rather. Right. And that's why the name of this is called Angel Wire or Agency Angel, because nothing's going to be hidden. Everything's going to be straightforward. And we just want to see everybody succeed. And we're trying to put together a format that actually will, no matter what level you are on at, you know, you're and trying to run a business or just in your skills, we are going to try and do everything we can to make you successful.
Well, both you and I have owned our own small businesses prior to
yes.
our marketing company. So we both have dealt with this from the other the other end of the stick, yes. you know. The whole reason I started Great Marketing in the very first place was a large part of that, because my right. businesses had this need that every time I had tried to go elsewhere to have it fulfilled, I got screwed and I got, you know, deceived. Or at least I felt like I was being deceived, because what I was getting was not at yeah. all what I expected to get.
So what was the worst experience for your fulfillment for your business then?
I think the worst case scenario is when you have another company, an agency, running ads for your business.
Yeah.
And they falsely advertise something. For example, they say a service is free when it is not free.
No.
And now you have tons of leads, right, that you're paying for that think they're about to get something for free when you say, no, actually the service is $325 a month. That's not a happy prospect right there.
No, I can't imagine so. You must have been pretty upset.
Even if that person maybe would originally have been fine with that price, they're not now, because they just got told it was going to be free. That's a bad deal. It's something I've experienced. It's something that other businesses I know have experienced as well.
Yes.
Aside from that, the it's just general headaches.
Yes.
You know, it's things not being done correctly. You find misspellings and typos and ads. The things that you are paying them to avoid, they're doing anyways, because they're just breezing through it, even though they should know better, you know?
Yeah. Or they're doing a fulfillment.
There's a lot of corners being cut.
Yeah. Or they're doing a fulfillment. They take and perform it, but then they leave it in the client's lap to finish it out instead of following right. up and taking care of everything for them.
Right.
And that is obviously one of the things that we make sure to follow through everything, and everything's taken care of. So that's one less thing on the client's end that they don't have to even worry about.
Right.
They just need to just log in and check up on it once in a while and see where they're at. And we actually just send them what's going on with everything.
Right.
So that way they just see it and go, oh, okay, thanks.
Right.
It's working.
Right. We want to show real results, right. not just cherry pick.
Right. Now that we know what the results are, so we know where it's got to be beefed up.
Right.
Which, hate to say it, not a lot of them out there that do that.
No.
We know of a few, but
let's not mention any names. No, we don't want to be those guys. No, but the largest in the industry often tend to be the worst offenders.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to beat that subject too much.
No. We don't.
We're not trying to sell anybody on anything at this stage. Maybe eventually.
But you just got back.
But not now.
You just got back from a car show, though.
But I just got back from a car show, so yeah. I would like to talk about cars.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about cars.
And not long ago, we were at a car show together when we filmed our previous podcast.
Right, at that Ford Fest.
Which, let's talk about that one first.
Okay.
Because that one's a charity, right?
Yes, that's a charity that we sponsor.
Let's take care of our good deeds for the day, right?
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. First, for the viewers, a little background. What we're talking about is called Cruise for a Cause. Okay?
Yes.
It's specifically that show was called Cruise for Causes Fall Ford Fest.
Yes.
So what Cruise for a Cause is a friend of mine, Dan Neve, who hopefully we'll have on here eventually. He runs the show. It all started with him getting a Shelby and a Shelby GT500 and deciding to have it done with some stickers and livery and show it around to try to raise money for breast cancer, to support breast cancer research, which he then donated to our local hospital, which is very large and well-known throughout the nation for cancer research. It's since grown into a very large event and is now one of the largest Ford shows in the world.
Right.
So it's, you know, every kind of Mustang you could possibly imagine is there. Along with pretty much any Ford, you know, there was both new and old Ford GTs there. You know, there was this light mint green pickup truck that Joe and I are both in love with.
Yeah, and it's a rare green too. It's actually one of these ones where you actually have to know somebody with that color because they put it on the Ford Victorias. I think it was back in 58 or 56. I can't remember which one, but I actually had a heck of a time trying to find that one. I used to own a shop.
Just to find a picture of it on Google.
It was. But we found it. But again, it's like one of those colors that, I mean, it's once you see it.
Look it up.
Yes.
Go on Google, type in Ford. What would you type in?
I would type in Crown Victoria, 1956, 58. Crown Victoria.
Yeah. You'll find it.
I believe it's the deluxe as well.
You'll know when you see it.
Yeah. It's good. There was only so many of those cars made with that color, and it wasn't very many of them.
Right.
And it is just like a creamy mint. I mean, it's literally out of this world. I mean, we actually kind of played around with that color once we saw it and put it on supercars. It looked pretty nice. Yeah. It looked pretty nice.
Yeah. Specifically, my thought is, you know, Ferrari F12.
Yeah, that
color.
That color.
It matches the curves.
Yes.
Right? It's a color that just suits the curves of that car.
And light glows right off of that color. Oh, so nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
But well,
so let's not get hung up.
There's one more thing, though. But if you are looking to make a charitable contribution, Cruise for a Cause is always looking for it. And you can go to cruise4acause.org.
Yep.
And you can go on that site and you can make a contribution in there. Also, they are giving away a Ford GT.
Yeah. I mean, there's only, by the time this gets out, there may not be much time.
Yeah, it might not be. It's because I believe it's November 11th.
If it's still on the website, make sure you get some entries because it's not a Ford GT. Let's correct that.
Yes.
It's a GT500.
Right.
It's a 2022 Shelby GT500 Signature Edition, and it is one of one Cruise for a Cause Signature Edition.
Right.
So this is actually done by Shelby. It's not some aftermarket package that's applied. It's amazing. You got a very fast ride in it.
Yes, I got the fastest ride in it,
The fastest ride of the day.
From at Billy J Racing.
Yep, Billy Johnson. So, I mean, what a driver, too.
Yep. Yeah, but amazing
driver. I mean, the whole event is so much fun because it's, 4 days in total? You know, you've got Thursday, there was a track day at Road America.
Yep.
Friday there was golf and speedway runs at Dell Speedway. And then Saturday you've got the actual
car show,
the car show with some cruises and then the banquet afterwards.
And everything. Yep.
The banquet includes the auction, which we'll get to in just a second.
Yeah.
I don't want to derail myself here right away. And then on Sunday, you've got autocross, which is when you got the ride.
Right.
And that's basically what it is every year. I don't know if Road America is going to happen every year, but hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm going to have to buy a Mustang specifically for that show. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no way for me to avoid it at this point.
It is so fun. You almost, even if you're not a Ford person, it definitely, it just because the people that are there.
Right.
And just the amount of kindness that's going on around in that place. You just want to be a Ford person, or if anything, at least be a Mustang person.
Right.
Because there's probably at least 100 of the same year, same Mustang there, but they're all different.
Everybody's
done something different to them. And some of them are just little subtle things. And then some of them are just erratically changed. You don't even recognize it's a Mustang.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a good show. And then, you know, there was 300 people in that banquet dinner. And it was like almost like a big family sort of atmosphere. It was like a giant family reunion where you could walk up to and talk to anybody.
Yes.
And feel totally comfortable.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everybody has this common thread, you know?
Yep.
And then aside from that, it's like I feel like I get brought to the edge of tears every single year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there's always these momentous occurrences, whether it's somebody giving a really, you know, impassioned speech, which has happened in the past. It didn't happen so much this year, but this year there was the hood.
The hood.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And go ahead and tell that story, actually.
Okay. This ties in well too, because it's a great business tactic as well. Because while I'm telling this, just consider the tax benefits of all this, right? So what happened was Ford donated an unpainted prototype Mustang hood to be auctioned off.
Yep.
And on the inside of the hood, it was signed by, I think, most of the Ford SVT development team.
Right.
It was to be sold at the auction during the banquet, but it did have a reserve. So this is not this year, but last year.
Right.
It did not meet the reserve at the auction. So Dan took it with him then to Shelby Fest. It did sell at Shelby Fest for, I think, about $6,600.
Something like that, yeah.
The guy who bought it from Shelby Fest then took it to another person who's deeply involved with Cruise for a Cause and had his daughter, who's an artist, paint a mural on the outside of the hood. I wish I had a picture of it because it looked awesome.
Yeah.
It was basically one half new Mustang front end, one half old Mustang front end.
Right.
And then on top of all that, he then brought it back to Cruise for a Cause
donated
it to be auctioned off once again, now freshly painted.
Yeah. Which, can I add something to that? That hood also, I believe, is still not in production yet.
No, it's not, and I don't think it ever will be.
So it is a one-off hood, and it is a pretty cool looking hood too.
Yeah. Yeah, because it has like a Mustang in the vent space.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe.
It's a crazy looking hood.
We'll have to try to find a picture and maybe I can.
I think we got a
picture.
I just, we have to look. But
we'll find it.
If we do, we'll put it on here.
We'll splice it in somewhere here down, wherever.
But it's a pretty amazing hood.
So he brought it back, donated it to be auctioned off. So again, coming back to the tax thing, you know, he got $6,600 write off when he bought it, another $6,600 write off when he donated it. How much did it sell for, Joe? Do you remember? It was a little over $16,000.
Yeah, I think it was $16,000, and that's because he didn't want somebody to go home with it.
He bought it back himself.
Yeah, he bought it back himself because he wanted the hood.
He wanted the hood. He also wanted to make a huge donation.
Right.
And, of course, get a huge tax write-off. So in his trading around of this hood, he's earned himself $20,000 plus in tax write-offs.
And if I'm not wrong, he hangs this hood in his office, correct?
I believe that's the story, but I'm not 100% certain. And he gets to keep the hood.
Right.
You know? And what a story. The guy got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Dan was brought to tears.
Yeah, $16,000 on one auction item is
so amazing. I don't know if you saw this or not, but you remember during the banquet, Dan was saying how Crucifer Cause has raised over $100,000 to date for cancer research. Do you want to take a stab at how much it raised this year alone?
I don't know. What is
$75,000.
That is amazing. We had a great year then.
I mean, three quarters of what they've made in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years. I've been involved with it since 2014.
Last year was my first year.
Yeah. And they've done three quarters of that in 1 year now. So
it's growing.
It's growing like wildfire. Yeah.
It's an amazing event. I can't stress it enough. It's if anybody gets a chance to go to one of these, Dan goes to different states and everything else. So you can catch these Crucifer Cause.
He goes to most of the major shows where Ford is present throughout the year.
And he has a booth that he sets up at these other car shows. But the one that he puts on in Wisconsin, near Wisconsin Dells, he goes all out. He sets these up, and he's starting to do ones in the spring too now, right?
Yep.
So if you don't catch the one in the fall, you can catch one in the spring. And these events are pretty neat. I mean, it is worth every single penny. And if a car show is free for anybody to see.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to pay for that. And they're selling off raffles. They have food trucks there. They got a DJ going. They got vendors there like Ford. They're there. They're selling shirts. I think they even sell parts there out of that big truck that they got there.
I mean, there's been Shelby, Recaro.
Yeah.
You know, there's past years, Recaro has set up all their seats for the display for people to
check out. They got Pro Sticker there. There's a lot of vendors there, actually, now that I think about it.
The spring show has a craft show as well.
Yes. So, and the spring show, I believe, is also an open. So,
yep, that's all makes.
So it's all makes. It's not just Ford on the spring show. Correct. So, but it is truly, truly a great event. And on top of it, it's for a great cause. And that makes it even better.
Right.
You know? I mean, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a great thing. And go to cruiseforacause.org and check it out.
And by the way, if you like that website, guess whose marketing agency built it? Just saying. Okay, I'm done plugging.
You're done plugging now. Okay. and then the auction, back to the auction though. The auction is amazing because they do a silent auction as well.
Mm-hmm. And a raffle.
And a raffle.
And then there's the car raffle.
And the car raffle. Yep. And then they do an actual auction as well. Mm-hmm. That's where the hood was. And they do a lot of items.
Yeah.
And a lot of cool items. So, I mean, there's some stuff that actual Carroll Shelby signature is on some of the stuff that gets auctioned. I mean, so, yeah, I got...
Joe managed to come away with something pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a box of chili with a signature on it. So
whose box of chili, Joe?
Well, it's Carroll Shelby's chili.
It's Carroll Shelby's chili. It's signed and whose signature is on it?
It's his grandson's signature.
Aaron Shelby.
Aaron Shelby, yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And I actually...
And that was from the raffle, correct?
Yes, that was the raffle.
You didn't really pay much money for that.
No, I didn't pay much money. It cost me about $100.
Well, that's what you spent in total on the raffle tickets. But how many tickets did you put in that bucket? I mean,
maybe $25.
$25.
Yeah. So Yeah, and also got a sign and a few other cool things.
There's so many things. I feel like I didn't put in anything in the raffle this year.
Yeah.
Because every year I almost feel guilty that a major sponsor is like walking out of there with his arms loaded full of shit that he just won in the fucking raffle. Yeah. You know?
But you're donating money just like anybody
else.
Well,
yes. That's why I've always done it.
There is so much stuff there. It's literally impossible to win it all anyway.
Right.
You know? But, I mean...
My kid cleans house every year, too.
Yeah.
He goes home with all sorts of Legos and night lights and just goodies that he won in the raffle.
I would say that it's worth going to the paying for the banquet. I would definitely do it. But this next year, they're only allowing 300 spots.
Yeah.
So
first come, first serve.
Yep. So if you are interested in doing that, I would make sure that as soon as you see that come up on the site,
yeah,
get in on it.
Yeah.
You know, it goes fast. So, I mean, we don't have to worry about it because we're sponsors.
Right.
but definitely worth every bit of it. Well, and actually the first night also, they had like a little, they actually set out the raffles. On the first night as well.
The welcome reception.
Right, the welcome reception. They set all raffles for that too.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, people come from a long ways for that event too.
Well, we had some from Florida,
Nebraska,
Texas, I believe.
North Dakota was in there as well.
Yeah, North Dakota was in there. But there was even a guy that flew from Canada.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, there was a guy that came from Canada. Let's see. I think there was even some people from Arizona, if I remember correctly.
Could be.
Oh, and Pennsylvania. That was one of the other long-distance ones was Pennsylvania as well, wasn't it?
I think it was New Jersey.
Maybe it was New Jersey. Oh, yeah, it was New Jersey. You're correct on that one. Yep, you're right. But
I mean, the fact that we know this kind of illustrates what I'm talking about it being like a family sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, all walks of life, too. It's not just... You know, business owners or extreme car lovers. It's all walks of life. Some of these people are just 19, 20 years old.
Oh yeah.
And then some of them are almost 80.
Right.
You know, if not older.
Right.
We've seen quite a few different people there. You know, saw a guy with a mohawk and, you know, another guy wearing a suit.
True.
You know, so and everybody enjoys it. It's a phenomenal
thing.
It's
never not a good time.
Oh no. It's always a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, even though this was my second year, I mean, it was only better this year.
Yeah.
For me.
And if you're coming and you're bringing a car, do yourself a favor. Do the autocross.
Oh.
Do the autocross. I don't care if you are a talented racing driver or you are terrified by driving fast or by the idea of driving fast, give it a shot. There's usually an autocross school involved in all this too.
Right.
I think this year they did that at Road America.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that one, but
I'll have to look into that. I think that was the case.
We get Dan.
Usually that would be done on the Thursday, I think.
Well, we get Dan on here. He can explain
we'll have
the
him
autocross
talk more in detail about what's coming.
He knows
next year.
The autocross, what's all involved in that.
But it's so much fun.
Yeah,
it's so much fun.
It is.
I mean, and every year there's lots of people who have never done it before, have never done anything like that before. You know, you see soccer moms driving their Mustang around the autocross track, and granted, they're not usually doing the best of times.
Yeah.
But they're always smiling.
Yeah,
they're always having a blast. It's a good time, and it's pretty low risk. The worst that's really going to happen for the most part is you're going to hit a cone, a little rubber cone. It's not really going to do any damage. You might have to kind of yank it out of your suspension a little bit. But that's about it. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty low risk.
Although there was a girl there that probably was the second fastest.
But yeah.
She's smoking it pretty good.
She's a proper driver.
Yeah, she's a proper driver, but
I don't want to come off by saying soccer mom. I don't want to come off like,
oh, she was,
I think women can't drive, because yeah,
she drove the shit out of that.
She can drive.
She drove the shit out of that car.
But I mean, even Billy Johnson, who is a accomplished, you know, he drove number 66 Ford GT at Le Mans. He's done it as far as racing goes.
Yeah.
Right. He came, he drove the autocross track. He said he's never done autocross before, but it was a fucking blast. Yeah. He had a great time. So,
and the fastest time.
And the fastest time with of the day, which kind of goes without saying. You know, he is the racing driver. But you were lucky enough to be that in that particular lap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a...
Which is another thing people can come and do, is take a lap you know, as a passenger.
Yeah, yep. You can do ride-alongs.
Usually ride-alongs that happen on Saturday with a professional driver. There's usually some ride-alongs on Sunday as well.
Yep.
If there's not, come find me. I'll be more than happy to give somebody a ride-along.
Definitely.
Try to make them scream.
Yeah.
It's usually the goal.
And you actually do pretty good on your times as well.
Well, I have a fair bit of experience.
Yeah. You've been doing it for some time now.
Yeah.
And you especially, do simulators.
You know, right. If you consider simulator time to be worth anything, which I think you really should. If you don't, you probably haven't driven a true simulator. I got a lot of time in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it since I could walk. Yeah.
So you went to the car show today.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that?
It was good. I mean, dude, you know, it was a little chilly. Like 45 degrees, 50 degrees, but it was the last show of the season, so everybody turned out.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know, I walked up at first, and there, you know, they normally have the big main lineup in front. There was only like five or six cars there. Good cars. Right. There was a Lamborghini Urus, and there was, I think, a 458 in there. There was a nice, my friend Adam's Porsche 911 Turbo S that he just picked up. You know, some cool stuff. But I'm thinking, oh, you know, what the hell? Not that much. But then I looked out into the general parking lot and discovered there was exotics all the way out into the back corner. You know, there was a 650S Spider sitting in the far corner. So then there was a whole row of GTRs. Of so
where did they variety, have this?
You know, it's at the Leela. I don't know if that's how you say it, but it's the Sheridan in Bloomington.
Okay.
You know, I used to always like religiously show up early and go and get breakfast at Leela, and then I'd be done before the show starts so I can socialize and this and that. But last time, I didn't get my food for like 45 minutes. Now, I'm not trying to trash anybody on our podcast here, but dude, it put a serious damper on things. So this time I kind of skipped eating. Not going to lie. I mean, I ate after.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed.
That sucks.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Go to the show.
But
the show's cool.
The show.
I don't go for the food. Yeah. I go for the cars.
The cars. Yeah. But what was the coolest car that was there, you think?
Oh, well. In my opinion,
okay,
or what was in the rare, general.
What was the rarest
car? The most rare car there would be the SVJ.
SVJ?
It was Lamborghini SVJ that is pretty kind of interestingly spec'd because it's a matte black but with red accents. Right? So it's like,
sounds my kind of style.
It's kind of, it's cool. Yeah, it's just a little,
I like the all.
It's like over the top and yet reserved at the same time. It's kind of self-conflicted, but I like it. It's cool. I think I got a little clip of it on my Instagram.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't even looked at that yet.
See, I'm going to keep plugging my Instagram all day long, though, because I need to get the follower numbers up.
Right, right.
But
yeah, yours is bought 20 times what mine is right now.
Well, that, and I'm probably going to reference my stories, you know, a fair number of times in this podcast. So,
right, right.
As I've said, follow me, fuckers.
I suppose I should give out my Instagram. I'm the Experience Adapted. So, and I also do another podcast as well.
Yeah, which we're going to do later, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing later.
Bang one of those out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole podcasting thing has been fun so far.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy it. So
I've always just enjoyed good conversation.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I was a kid, I would be the kid sitting at the table with the adults just joining in the conversation or trying my best to. I think they probably thought it was cute or whatever at the time. But to me, I was really a part of that conversation, you know.
So how many burnouts did you see while you were there?
So the funny thing about this show, every single time, you know, it is put on by Minnesota Exotics and Supercars.
Yep.
Right? The focus to the show, Supercar Saturday, is supercars. Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Porsches, McLarens, Exotics.
Yep, supercars. Yep.
Right. And yet, every year, every month, every time, it's nothing but a whole lot of racket and smoke coming from Camaros and Mustangs and Corvettes.
All the American cars. Leave. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they just do, you know, the big crazy burnouts all the way out, which I love a good burnout as much as anyone, but
it gets smelly.
It's kind of like, you know, we come here for this. Meanwhile, the Whopper is doing a massive burnout and screaming about it, how great it is on the way out.
Well, I noticed, too, like at a lot of these supercar shows and stuff, too, cops like to hang out.
Well, yeah.
And they're
too.
Just like waiting, right. You know. But sometimes they're just there because they want to see them, too.
Yeah.
But I get it.
I know for a fact that this particular one, the organization actually calls ahead to the police and says, hey. We're going to be here.
It's going to be some loud cars.
It's going to be some cars. Maybe you want to send somebody down to just keep things.
Well,
keep
I mean, collectively, you know, you're probably talking about, you know, at least $700-800 million worth of cars sitting in one little area of a parking lot.
Yeah, I don't know about that much.
Well, some of these cars are worth over $300,000.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
A lot of them are.
But $700-800 million, I think, is probably a high number.
Well, how many cars would you think?
I would say probably up to 100 million.
Up to 100 million?
Right, because the vast majority of them are in the, like, 70 to 110,000 range.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a new Camaro, you're talking 50, 60,000. If it's a Porsche, most of them, you know, apart from GT cars.
Well, how many Ferraris were there?
Well, let's see. There was, I think, 2 or 3 4 or 5 8s. I saw an F430. I think that was it for Ferraris. So, right there, you're talking about maybe $1 million
right there. And then how many Lamborghinis? Probably a few, huh?
Let's see. There was a Gallardo Superleggero, which is also underground racing twin turbo. Pretty crazy car. There's the SVJ. That's, you know, $750,000. There was Lambo Dad made an appearance. So that's a Huracan. There was another Huracan there. And then the Urus. So there's good maybe 2 million.
Yeah. So, yeah, just those two handfuls of cars.
And then if
you're already
McLarens,
at 2 million. Yeah.
You know, there's probably another million worth of McLarens.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of GTRs there.
Was there?
Like the R35 GTR.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, literally a whole row of them.
Wow.
Yeah, in the parking lot. So there's plenty of GTR to go around, but they're quite a bit cheaper, too.
Yeah.
So you're still talking milli to a million and a half. So, I mean, today there was probably an easy 20 million.
Was there any of my favorite cars out there?
Your favorite cars?
My favorite car.
What's your favorite car?
That Audi.
Oh yeah,
the R8 Spider.
There was 2 R8s, but neither of them were Spiders. Both V10 plus.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they didn't cheap out. Right?
No, they didn't cheap out. they went with the Lambo motor.
Right. Why wouldn't you? Because
well, I mean, you're gonna spend the
it's
money.
It's a lot more money.
But if you're gonna spend that kind of money anyway, why
but
wouldn't
it's
you?
It's a huge difference. The V8. R8 is a sports car. The V10 is a supercar.
Yeah. If you're trying to go real cheap, go V6.
I don't think they make a V6. Although maybe you could, you know. kit car.
You could probably, yeah.
Right? Or like, you know how people take Fieros and they turn them, they make it look like a Ferrari 355?
Yeah.
Maybe do the same kind of thing with like a Beetle or something.
Where you see like some of the shit on like YouTube or Instagram or whatever, some of these, you know, these reels or whatever that TikTok, and you got these kids, they're welding up these little frames and they're taking cardboard and Bondo and making it look like a supercar and it runs with a moped motor.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those that, I mean, they actually look pretty good.
Some of them look pretty good. Some of them.
Yeah, but I'm like, wow. I'm like, that's some talent. That kid's going to own one.
Okay, but talk about talent. Have you seen the guy that does in Italy that does the wooden
cars? Yeah. That is something, isn't it?
They're like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking all the measurements and everything else. Yeah. Yeah, he scales it just perfect.
Those Italians are freaking passionate people, man.
Yeah. Well, they also build everything by hand. Literally.
I respect that.
Yeah.
And dude, Ferraris have come so far,
and they
because they're reliable now, relative terms, right?
Yep.
I mean, the Ferraris of old were terribly unreliable, and when they did break, you had to pull the entire engine out. It was a huge deal, lots of money, even if it was just a belt.
Yeah, it was. They had a lot of top end problems.
Yeah.
Yep.
But now, you know, ever since the 458,
yeah,
they've been pretty rock solid. I mean, the engine is pretty solid.
Yeah.
I've had some interesting experiences with 458 interiors, but
yeah. But they're handmade.
Dude, I wouldn't give a shit if it had the way that a 458 drives. I wouldn't give a shit if it had a fucking Honda Civic interior.
But thing is, if you were to have a, you know, you go out and buy a Ferrari and you find a flaw in it,
it's a much bigger deal.
Well, the thing, it's a much bigger deal, but they know exactly what person to go and talk to about that because they know whose hand touched that part of the car. Because that car, I mean, it's, you know, they're literally built by the person.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going through down an assembly line, you know, with all the machines and stuff like that. These guys are building them by hand.
Right.
That's what makes them.
It's part of what makes them so valuable.
Right.
But aside from that, the technology involved
is
also a part of what makes it. If people haven't driven that kind of a car, it's easy to say, you're paying for the name.
Yeah.
Once you drive it, you're like, oh.
Anytime you drive an exotic car.
I'm in a spaceship.
Anytime you drive an exotic car, you go, I could.
Not all of them.
Well, not all of them.
I've driven some that I'm like.
Yeah.
The Aston Martin Vantage. I drove a new Aston Martin Vantage with the, you know, the Mercedes bi-turbo V8.
Yeah.
That's a car that the average person will see and be like, oh my God, you know, it's an Aston Martin.
But you got also
feels like a normal car driving it.
But we got to remember here too is like some of these cars are daily drivers in Europe.
Some, not a lot.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want a daily drive one, really.
No.
I know people who do and love it.
Be like owning a Maserati.
The experience that I had, it was too much of trying to be both things.
Right.
It was trying to be sporty and trying to be a good daily at the same time. And what that resulted in was a big, heavy car with lots of blind spots, a very normal interior, very normal and sort of muted driving feel, but yet terrible ride quality, a super hard seat for some weird reason. And it just wasn't comfortable for me.
Yeah.
Like I said, it teach their own.
Yeah.
You know,
when you bring up that.
I was much more comfortable in the 458, which was much more like race car.
When you bring up that, it makes me think of the Maserati.
Yes.
That is the Jaguar's past.
Yes.
It
doesn't know what it is.
No.
Or where it's going or where it wants to be, but they do sound amazing.
They do sound amazing, but if you get more than 130,000 out of the thing, you're doing good.
If you get $80,000,
right? They depreciate very quickly.
Yeah, that too.
So, but yeah, I mean, supercars are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of TLC put into those cars when they're being built.
Right.
That's what makes them what they are.
Yeah. I mean, the first time you drive one, the performance is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It really is like a completely different experience. You know, you see the videos online of somebody in a Ferrari going through traffic and they're going 130 miles an hour and you're like, oh my God, that's so dangerous. That's so dangerous. Because you also see the videos of a Mustang going 85 miles an hour through traffic and spinning out and crashing, you know. And
it's a different car.
When you drive it, not that I am recommending anyone speed or abuse speed limits or saying that I ever have, because I always abide by the speed limit, right? I'm completely responsible.
Per se. Yeah.
Per se. But it is much more like doing 60 miles an hour in a normal car than you think.
Yeah.
It just is.
I mean,
you know, my... if you take what a Camry can do at 60, I'd bet you a Ferrari can do all of it at 100. You know what I mean? It just can.
Yeah. It's, yeah, there's a lot to be said about it.
Like I said, I'm not advocating for anything illegal.
No, but.
But those people aren't quite as insane as you might think.
No.
It's, the car is just that amazing.
But, yeah, anybody knows that if they've had any experience driving cars, they know the difference. Because even if they've driven, say, let's say you've driven, you know, you drive your regular daily car, you're driving a Ford Focus, and then you hop in, say, a Corvette. They're going to handle way differently. That Corvette at 80 miles an hour is going to feel a lot different.
Oh, yeah.
Than that Ford Focus doing 80 miles an hour. That Ford Focus is going to probably feel like it's ready to go all over the place, and that Corvette's just going to hug and just go right around it, and it's going to be nothing. And you're probably going to hop in that Corvette and hit 90 miles an hour and not even blink an eye.
Yeah.
You know? But that Ford Focus... She might rattle going down that road going 90 miles an hour. You know,
yeah.
The suspension's probably going to be screaming at you and be like, hey, no, we were designed for something different. And that's exactly what it is. It's not designed to be a race car. A Corvette, on the other hand,
right,
is designed to be a race car.
Well, sort of.
Sort of. It's a high performance car. Let's put it that way.
I mean, even the, yeah. It's a high-performance car. It's still something short of the supercar, though.
Oh, yes. You know? No, yes. But I'm just trying to give an example.
I did do a cruise in a 458 where I was driving a 458. Someone else with me, whom I happened to get behind, was driving a Corvette. I felt like I was in traffic pulling my hair out, going, come on, get out of the way, while he was white-knuckling it around the corners, terrified. And I could tell by the way the car was leaning. It's like falling over through every corner, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas the 458 was just no problem.
But it's designed to be able to do that.
Right.
And that's the difference. When something is designed properly, it works like it's supposed to.
Right.
You know, and that goes for anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot more you get what you pay for. Yeah,
you don't
with
use
them
a,
than people realize.
You know, you don't use a pipe wrench to frame a house.
Right.
Know? I mean, yeah, it probably could get the job done, but it ain't going to work very good, you know? But if you use a framing hammer, it's used the way it's
right.
It's designed for its purpose.
And if you use a really, really nice framing hammer, your hand will feel better at the end of the day.
Trust me, I own some really nice hammers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I
got a hammer that's $60 sitting in my tool chest right now.
Yeah. I basically
just for framing.
I have like a normal, you know, claw hammer for pounding nails and pulling nails, and then I got my 5-pound gentle manipulator, yeah. You know?
I got a lot of manipulators.
Fine-tuning of metal parts.
Yeah. So just in case anybody doesn't know, Ryan here used to be a welder.
I did.
Oh, you
did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very hot, sweaty, dirty, hardworking time.
In your life.
My life, yeah. Yes. I mean, honestly, I enjoyed it in a lot of aspects of it. You know, welding itself can be kind of fun and almost artistic.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's sad. I can imagine. I can see it being satisfying because you get to see what you're creating.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're building something. And when it comes to welding, you're building something that weighs 20,000 pounds. You know? So, build some really cool stuff. I mean, we did, you know, machinery that builds railroads.
Right,
we did a scoop bucket for some type of machinery. And this still blows my mind. Where it was a bucket that was able to take an amount of dirt equivalent to a football field in a single scoop.
That's pretty amazing.
I mean, that's huge, huge.
Must be for mining.
We built it in pieces, and each piece was as big as we could get it onto a truck trailer and out the door.
And then brought to location and probably
assembled somewhere in Africa.
Oh, yeah, it was probably used for mining. They were
shipped overseas, right. It was for mining.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where you're doing like 2-inch welds. It's like crazy protocols. But at the same time, you go home at the end of every day, dirty as hell, sweaty as hell, tired.
Yeah.
With arc burn everywhere. Your eyes, you can't. I mean, dude, flash burn is real thing when you're in the welding industry, because you can't help it because there's so many welds happening around you. Even if you're perfectly disciplined with your helmet, you're still gonna get flash. You're still gonna feel like you got sand in your eyes at the end of every freaking day.
Yeah.
And then you blow your nose and you look at the tissue and it sparkles. And that's the moment you realize I am taking days off of my life every time I go into work.
And the pay is not that great.
Pay is not that great. Everybody thinks welding's a really good paying job. It is when you're 18. When you're 26, it's starting to not look that great anymore. When you're 40, $25 an hour or whatever, you know, there's better things you can be doing. Like starting a marketing agency.
Yeah. And trust me, it has not been easy.
It's not for us.
No.
Because we've done it the hard way. In order to create an easy way for a lot of other people.
And that actually, that is the very, very, very truth of it all. We've
had a lot of learning experiences.
And trying to figure out how to streamline it to make it as easy as possible for everybody.
Right.
So, yeah. And I can't wait for that to roll out. It's going to help so many people, especially
with, now,
right? With the way everything is, these last 2 years have been going.
I mean, this is going to be in the works for a lot longer than that.
Yep.
But it really couldn't come at a better time.
No. It's been almost 3 years, isn't it? That the
almost four. Was
almost four.
Really?
That'd be thought up.
I mean, yeah, because it kind of got put on a shelf for a while.
Right. You know? Yeah, we had other projects going on.
Right.
So. But, so this has been well thought out.
Yeah.
If anybody is really curious about this, again, go to agencyangel.com, learn more.
Yeah. You won't regret it. Yeah.
So, well, with that being said, I think we should wrap this show up. And
yeah, we're just about at an hour once again.
Yeah. Well, that's...
It just flies by.
It does. It goes by really quick. So... All right. Well, let's
call we'll head over. If you want to see more of us, go to the Experience Adapted.
Yes.
Where we're going to do another podcast and we're going to talk about some more
stuff. Yep.
Some more sensitive issues.
Yes.
I don't know why. If you're looking for that, I went for.
Definitely. If you're looking for more of the just life experiences and maybe things that you think that might be a sensitive subject, then that might be your place.
If you, however, fall under the characterization of a Karen, fuck off.
Yeah. I don't know. Bring it.
Bring it.
Give us something to talk about.
It's fair. Fair. Maybe don't fuck off. Yeah, or fuck off. Either way.
If you're a Karen, really you can still fuck off. I don't care.
Right.
So, but.
If your name is Karen, however, I mean no offense.
No. I mean, my name's Joe. So, I mean, that's tied to a lot of things. So, and.
My name is just very common.
And damn that Biden.
Damn it.
Enough of that. We'll save that for another time and a different show. All right. You guys have a good day.
Yeah. Peace.